Okay, gentlemen, we're moving on to the next Mishnah, the Mishnah on Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, where the Mishnah discusses a case called Hamecham Shepinohu. Is that the Mishnah? Hamecham Shepinohu, if you empty out a Mecham, a Mecham is literally like a water heater. Rashi writes, a mechum is a kumkum, shochamen, right? Those of us who have been in Israel remember the heilige kumkum. So if you empty out a mechum, so lo yitin the tocho tzonen, you should not put cold water in it, bishvil sheyechamu, to warm it. Avanosin hu letocho, letoch hakos, kedei lahavshiran. But you are able to put the water into the mechum to warm it, lahav shiran is mutter, or you could put the water into a kos. The pashtus is that a kos is a kli sheni. That's what a kos is throughout Judaism. And therefore, what the Mishnah is telling me is that if I have a mechum shepinahu, we haven't exactly defined the term yet, but if I have a mechon that is empty, I should not put cold water in sheyechamu, but I am able to put cold water into the mechon kedei lahafshir, to warm it. And even a kos, even a kli sheni, you're only allowed to put the water in kedei lahafshir. L'cha'ora, the Mishnah is saying that even a kos, you cannot put water in lahachem, only lahafshir. Now, this is troubling, problematic, perplexing, and bewildering. Meaning, right, it's hard to understand. Because we know that kli sheni einu mevashel. So why would the Mishnah tell me that I'm only allowed to put the water into a kos, kedei lahafshir, only to warm it? L'cha ora, a kos is a kli sheni. If a kos is a kli sheni, you're even allowed to put water into the kos lahachem, because kli sheni ain't no mefashel. So this is already a problem. Comes along Rabbi Ovadia of Bar Tanura on the Mishnah. Zuck the Bar Tanura, that our Mishnah is going with those opinions that kli sheni is mevashel. That's what the Bar Tanura says. Our Mishnah is a collector's item, right? Our Mishnah is saying kli sheni is mevashel. Right? That's why it says I'm only allowed to put water into a kais, which is a kli sheni, in order to have shir. Lahachim is aser. Mr. Fink, how are you?
Just, we passed him in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to do this. So, and we also passed him that kli sheni.
So you're asking Akasha that Shulchan Aruch basically quotes the Mishnah Ketzuresa, no?
Right.
Right, the Mishnah says that you're allowed to put it in kedei lahafshir. You get the impression that it's mutter, according to the, right, it's lahalocha. And according to the Bar Tanura, it's not lahalocha. So, I'll tell you that the Bar Tanura is not the only opinion in Judaism. The Ritva, I think I gave this to you on Maror Mekomos, no? The Ritva writes that when the Mishnah says l'toch hakos kedei lahafshir, the Mishnah doesn't really mean l'toch hakos. L'toch hakos is mutter even l'hachem. The words l'toch hakos is just thrown into the Mishnah as a nachepis, as like an extra thing. But really, it is but really the Mishnah is only speaking about a mechon. That's what the Ritva says. The Ritva has a different mahalach. The second mahalach in the Ritva is that the kos that we're talking about in the Mishnah is a kos that was heated directly on the fire. You see, what does kos mean? Kos just means that it's something that I drink from, no? A kumkum, a mechan, is something that I heat water and I pour it into some other utensil and I drink from the other utensil. A kos means I drink from that utensil. Says the Ritva, maybe we're talking about the type of kais, which is a kli mishon, that you're drinking directly from something that was on the fire. I do not know if this exists on my planet, but right, that's what the Ritva says in his second parish. But b'kitzur hama'aseh, there are two opinions about how I read the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says that you're nosing the toch hakos kedei lahafshir, does that mean that the Mishnah is following this rejected opinion that kli sheni is mevasha, or do we have to read the Mishnah kind of with a scalpel? That's basically what the Ritva says. Let's pause and hold this because I want to come back to this conversation in a few minutes later. Good? Zakti Gemara, right? And Eli made the point that Shulchan Aruch quotes a Mishnah Kitzuresa, which means that Shulchan Aruch can only be according to the Ritva, not according to the Bartanura, right? Okay. Zakti Gemara, Maiko Amar. Right? Maiko Amar. What's the Gemara's kasha of Maiko Amar? Zakti Rashi, right? I'll give it away. So Rashi points out that there is a contradiction within the Mishnah. At first, the Mishnah says, lo yitain. Then the Mishnah says, avonosein. Well, which one is it, dude? Is it mutter, right, avonosein, or is it usser, lo yitain? Right? That's the way Rashi learns the kasha, the Gemara. The Ritva learns the kasha, the Gemara, the same way. And the Pnei Yoshua says, I don't get it. Because there's no steer in the Mishnah. Yeah, the Mishnah says, lo yitain, meaning, lo yitain lahachem. But you are able to be naisein lahafshir. So like, the way Rashi seems to be saying, and the Ritva writes this explicitly, that the Gemara's kasha of Maiko Amar is that there's a steer within the Mishnah. How could it be that first we say lo yitain, and then later on we say yitain, avol nosein? That doesn't make sense, because there are two different cases. Lo yitain, lahachem, avol nosein, lahafshir. That's the shayla. So the Pnei Yehoshua has a mahalach that he suggests, but it's very difficult. Very difficult. The Pnei Yeshua suggests that maybe the Gemara's kasha of Maiko Amar is, what do these words mean? Throughout Maseches Shabbos, I have a term called bishul. Bishul means cooking. I know what bishul is. I have another term called lahafshir, to warm something. Over here in our Mishnah, I have a term Lehochem. It doesn't say bishul. So the Pnei Yehoshua understands that the kasha of the Gemara is like, what is this word lehochem? Maiko Amar, teach the words. And by the way, the Maiko Amar sounds a little more like that. Maiko Amar just means like, what is it? It doesn't usually mean that there's a contradiction. So Pnei Yeshua has a suggestion that the Maiko Amar in the Gemara is just, how do you translate the word lahachem, Eli?
How's the answer?
So Zok the Pnei Yeshua, I like this pshat very much, but then the Hemshech HaGemara makes no sense. Right? Because in the continuation of the Gemara, we have Machlokas of Ad Bar Hava and Abaya, how you read it. And that does not make any sense, right? We should have some answer to translate the word, what the word lahachem means. So I don't understand this entire sugya. I don't understand the entire sugya klav ikar. I apologize, one second. It's just like an exchange I'm in the middle of. Oh, So that's the Shaila. So I don't know the Pshat. I don't really know the Pshat because my Ko'amar, yeah, I think the Pnei Yeshua's point is a strong point, that the words my Ko'amar don't mean that there's a stira ordinarily. But the teretz of the Gemara seems to be resolving some sort of stira. Okay, so what's the teretz? Michael Amar, Zakti Gemara, so Rav Adamar Ahava says that the Mishnah is talking about Hamecham Shapina Mimenu Mayim. Right? Rav Adamar Ahava says that the case is that you empty the Mecham. You empty the Mecham. I had a tfli that was a kumkum, it was mamish on the fire. I empty it out. Zuck the Mishnah. Don't put cold water into that kli lahachem, but you can put cold water into that kli lahafshir. According to Adam Barahava, it's mecham shepina mimenu mayim. You emptied the kli of water. So don't put mayim mu'atim kadei sheyechamu, but you can put mayim merubim kadei lahafshiran. Correct the Gemara, but how are you allowed to? How are you allowed to put the cold water in to the empty pot? Correct the Gemara. Halo mitzareif. You're in violation of the din of quenching. Apparently, right? Apparently, one of the people who shall remain anonymous because he doesn't want to be recorded for posterity on YU Torah saw some video about how you make a sword. So an anonymous person whose initials are ZS, but he will remain anonymous. So, this anonymous person pointed out that when you make a sword, you first heat it up and then you put it in cold water right away. And that hardens it. This, by the way, is what you do. I went to Corning. Corning, New York is like, they have glass making. By the way, if you have not been there, it's Kedai. It's a really good place. So in Corning, the way you make glass is it's like really hot. It's like 900, 1,000 degrees. Super hot. And you blow the glass. And it's super hot. It's going to collapse on itself. You stick it in cold water right away to harden it. That's what you do. Because it's going to be super soft. When you make a sword, apparently you do the same thing. The metal is really hot because that's how you make the proper shape. You heat up the metal, but then you have to harden it. That's called mitzareif. The din of mitzareif, Rashi learns, is a malacha of tikkun kli. It's gemar malachas hatzarifim. We should note that the Rambam might have a different take on Yiddishkeit, but the majority of Rishonim, Rashi, Ramban, Ravid, they learn that the din of mitzareif is a malacha of tikkun kli, makib patish. So the Gemara's kasha is, how can you put cold water into the keli? Isn't that going to be a violation of mitzareif? So the Gemara says, we're going according to the Tanna Reb Shimon, who holds davar sheino miskaven is mutter. Davar sheino miskaven, meaning, over here, my kavona is to put the water into the keli. My kavona is not to harden the keli. Therefore, it's mutter to put the water in because it's a davar sheino miskaven. B'li neder, tomorrow we'll have to address a kasha that l'chayre, this is not a davar sheino miskaven. This l'chayre is what we call psik resha. No? That's the issue that that certain person named with the initial ZS said is a very long tosis. Yes. Right? It's a very long tosis that addresses this issue. But b'kitzar masa kuntra of ada barahava. The Mishnah is talking about you had a kli, you empty the kli, and now I'm going to put water into the kli. I should only put a lot of water into the kli. Don't put a little bit of water in. If I put a little bit of water in, it's going to be bishul. If I put a lot of water in, it should still be aser al mitzareif. Zap the Gemara. Dovah shein the miskav, it's mutter kuntra from Shimon. Maskif lo abaya. Midi mecham shapina mimenu mayim katani. does the word mecham mean that you empty it out? No, mecham shapinahu kitani. It means that you remove the mecham. Does the word pina mean to empty out or to remove? Abaya's taina is that the Mishnah says pinahu, which means that you remove it from the flame. It doesn't mean that you empty it out. So rather, Abaya learns the Mishnah. Elo amar Abaya, hachiko amar mecham she pinahu. You remove the mecham from the fire, and there is hot water that remains in the mecham. Don't put a little bit of water in to heat it, but you are allowed to put a lot of water in because it is going to warm it, not heat it. But according to Abaya, if you emptied the mecham out, so you're not allowed to put any water in because that would be mitzaref, and Abaya goes with the Tanya Reb Yehuda that Dovish and the Miskaven is Osir. Okay, so what we have over here is like two issues. One issue is, how do I learn pshat in the Mishnah? What does the word pinahu mean? Does it mean empty out? Or does the word pinahu mean to remove? Second issue is, how do I paskin about Dovah Shein L'Miskaven? In this case, the way it is relevant for the Malacha of Mitzarev. Tosfos over here comments that the psukim in the Torah use the word pina to mean to empty out, not to remove. Right? We had in this past week's parash, right, in Chayasara, right, in Chayasara, we had Vanochi Pinisi Havayis. Zokt Rashi, Pinisi means I cleaned out the house. There's no Avodah Zarah. So you, Eliezer, you're allowed to come in. Don't worry about entering a bayis sheyesh by Avodah Zarah. Solu. What? By Nige Batim, right? Upinu as habayis. That's what Taisvis comments. Again, I'm reading the second Tais on the page. Upinu as habayis means that you empty it out. Solu, panu derech. Panu means clear off the road, right? Harimu michshol, right? Get rid of those stumbling blocks. Clear off the road. Harimu michshol miderech ami. Now, many Rishonim stop the kasha over here. If you look in the Tosfos Rihazokin B'Talmido, which was published by Machon Ofek with a grant from Branko Weintraub. So in the Taisus Rihazokin B'Talmido, he says, well, maybe Lashon Taira L'chud and Lashon Chachamim L'chud. Maybe in Biblical Hebrew, the word pina means to empty out, but in Rabbinic Hebrew, it means to remove. So that's what the Taisvis Rihazakim B'Talmido answers. However, our Taisvis says V'chein V'shas, meaning don't tell me that in Rabbinic Hebrew, the word pina means something different than it means in Biblical Hebrew, because we have a Gemara that says panu mokoim lebar levai, right, which means empty out. So he also has that Gemara, so apparently, I'm not sure how he deals with that. I don't know. Taisus is like bavarning Akasha. When Taisus says v'chein b'shas, he is bavarning the fact that don't tell me there's a distinction between Lashon Chachamim and Lashon Hamikra. I don't know how the earlier versions of Taisus dealt with that Gemara. I don't know. But basically, Taisus answers that the word pina means both things. No? Pina means to move, and pina means also to empty. So the kasha of Abaye really is that you should be clear. that the Mishnah, since the word pina could mean to empty or to move, so the Mishnah should have been more clear if it meant to empty and say pina mimenu. But that, I think, is the pshat in Taisus. Mishnayos have a responsibility of being as clear as possible. That's the way Taisus is understanding. Okay, Bekitzur Hamasa, this is the sugya. According to Rav Ada Bar Ahava, we're learning the Mishnah is talking about that you empty the kli. And according to Abaya, the Mishnah means that you move the kli from off the fire. Now, there is a taz. I didn't give this to you on the Maamar Komos, just because it's a long taz, and we'll talk about it now very briefly. The taz in Siman Sadi Beis Oslamed, Yeriday is Siman Sadi Beis Oslamed. The taz deals with the status of a ladle. Does the ladle count as a kli rishon or a kli sheni? On the one hand, you put the ladle into a kli rishon. If the din is that the defanois are mechamamais, so the ladle got hot from the fire itself. On the other hand, the ladle isn't really touching the fire, no? The pot is getting hot from the fire. The ladle is getting hot from the water, which is getting hot from the fire. So there's a discussion in the Taz about what the status of a ladle is. Is a ladle considered a kli rishon? Is a ladle considered a kli sheni? We'll point out that there's a steer in the Mishnah Brura. I want to do the ladle sugya when we talk about Iri, right? Which is going to be a long taisus on membeis and membeis. But in the context of that discussion of ladling, the Taz writes at the end that it seems to him that there's a distinction between a ladle that is full and a ladle that's empty. If I take the hot water out of the pot with my ladle, and there still is hot water in that ladle, so b'kahai gavna, the ladle could be a kli sheni. B'kahai gavna, excuse me, the ladle is a kli rishon. Because since you have the hot water in the ladle, and that hot water is considered kli rishon water, so the ladle in that case is a kli rishon. However, if I empty the ladle out, so now the ladle is empty, so then in that situation, Zakhtataz, the ladle by definition is a kli sheni.
How do you end with the contents of the ladle being a kli sheni? You pour from the kli rishon into the ladle?
Well, the ladle goes in the pot.
Yeah.
I take the ladle out of the pot. If there's hot water in the ladle still, so then the ladle is dino kikli rishayin.
That's using a ladle normally like a ladle.
What?
That's using a ladle normally like a ladle.
Well, you could also take the ladle out and it's empty. And then if I pour the cold water into that ladle after, the empty ladle is a din of a kli sheni once it's an empty ladle. The Taz is tining, right? That a full ladle, a ladle that takes water from the pot, is a kli rishon, but an empty ladle is a kli sheni. Right? Again, it's a nice Taz. It's like, it's a tucked away line at the end of that Taz. So everyone says, my dear beloved Taz, I love you, but you're against the Mishnah, as understood by Reb Ada Bar Ahava, no? Because Reb Ada Bar Ahava says that Mecham Shepinohu means I have an empty pot and still I am not allowed to put cold water into that empty pot. So the Mishnah is against Reb Ada Bar Ahava, or the Taz is against the Mishnah as understood by Rav Ada Bar Ahava. That's the kasha. Comes along the Eglei Tal. The Eglei Tal in Se'if Katin Chavtes has an essay where he tries to answer to defend the Taz, right, that the Taz seems to be against the Mishnah. So the Egle Taz, an essay to try to defend the Taz. First of all, he notes, this kasha, how would it plug into the Machlokas Bar Tanura and the Ritva gentleman? Dun 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 dun. It's my mission. It's like a funeral dirge to remember Alex Trebek. Dun 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 dun. According to the Bar Tanura, there's no cash at all. Because the Bar Tanura is learning our Mishnah, that our Mishnah taka holds that klisheni is mevashel. So what's the taina on the Taz? That Rav Ada Bar Ahava learns that the empty ladle is a kli sheni. So the kash is, if it's a kli sheni, how could it be mevashel? Answer! Our Mishnah holds kli sheni is mevashel. But according to the Bar Tanura, Adarabba, the Mishnah is beautiful. Or the Taz is beautiful. They're both beautiful, right? The Bar Tanura is saying that our Mishnah holds klisheni, a kos, is mevashel. So therefore, you shouldn't put water into a kos v'hachem. And therefore, an empty ladle is also mevashel, although an empty ladle is dinai klisheni, like the Taz says, but it still is mevashel. That's the mahalach of, that's one mahalach to answer this task. Yes, sir, Ellie.
From Bar Tanura, I love it, so he wasn't talking mahalach, he was talking about Shana Mishnah.
Okay, and if either Bar Ahava is explaining the Mishnah, so it's all Shaloy Aliba de Hilchasa, and the Taz is speaking lahalacha. The Taz is saying lahalacha. Right, a kli sheni is not mevashel, and lahalacha, an empty ladle, is a kli sheni, which is not mevashel. Uh-huh. Right? In other words, the Taz is a halacha sefer, or a commentary on a halacha sefer, whatever you want to say. Right? So that is the yesod number one to answer the Taz. Yesod number two to answer the Taz. Comes along the Egle Tal, and he says something which is really interesting. You know, we had a machlokas that we spoke about between the Yireyim and the Rav Yoh about whether there is Bishol Achar Afia. Right? The Yireyim taina that there is Bishol Achar Afia, and therefore you should not put, right, we spoke about the two types of croutons. Right, when there used to be a calf, so they used to have these croutons, which were mamish, just an old piece of bread. So you shouldn't put that in a pot of soup, because there's bishol achar afia according to the Yireyim. The Rav Yoh says there's no bishol achar afia. Grand. Zok the Egle Tal. What the Yireyim really means is that something that was cooked once, if there is subsequent cooking on it, that subsequent cooking happens easier than something that was never cooked. Meaning, the only thing that cooks in the kli sheni is kalei habishul. When I speak about Bishol Achar Afia, precisely because it was cooked once, and I'm not repeating exactly the same action, because there's going to be subsequent cooking on this thing, so that subsequent cooking happens easier than the initial cooking would occur. Initial cooking doesn't happen in the kli sheni. Subsequent cooking happens in the klisheni. Again, most often subsequent cooking is aim b'shachar bishol, because you're doing exactly the same thing. But in the case that the subsequent cooking is not subject to the rules of aim b'shachar bishol, it's going to happen more easily. Therefore comes along the Eglay Town, and he has a Meir Dika Chiddush. He says, you know, the Rush says in Simen Yod that the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is only true by solids. By liquids, I paskin that Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. The Gemara on Kuf Mem Hey, an explanation of the Mishnah, says that Kol Sheba B'Chamin Lifnei HaShabbos Shornes HaBechamin B'Shabbos Kigon Ma'isach the Gemara Kigon Tarnigolta D'Reb Abba. A Tarnigolta D'Reb Abba is a Dovar that's solid. On solids, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But on liquids, Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. That's what the Rosh Chaim is. If there is Bishul Achar Bishul by liquid, says the Eglay Tal, that Bishul Achar Bishul will happen in a more easy way than initial Bishul. Meaning, even though Kli Sheni is not Mevashel initially, but Kli Sheni will be Mevashel water that was already heated. And therefore, the Eglay Tal, that same Aramakim, Sivkatim Chavtes, the Eglay Tal says that maybe when Rav Ada Barahava, maybe when Rav Ada Barahava says that an empty mechum, you should not pour water into it, he's talking about water that was already cooked. Because the water that was already cooked will cook more easily, even though it's a klisheni once it's emptied. But the Taz is speaking about water that was never cooked. So the Taz says an empty ladle is a klisheni and it won't cook. Yeah, it won't cook water that was never cooked. Now this Taz, this Eglay Tal, explanation of the Taz, mamish sounds like backwards Judaism, no? Because it was cooked, therefore, it will cook again in a klisheni. But something that was never cooked won't cook in a klisheni. Again, I could defend the Savara like the Eglay Tal does, but you can't ignore the fact that it sounds backwards. It sounds backwards. So, what's the pshat in this Taz versus the Mishnah? Comes along the Eglay Tal, and he has the following suggestion. The Eglay Tal suggests that we learned in Taisus on Daf Lamed Tes, that although Kli Sheni Einai Mevashel, Kli Sheni Einai Mevashel, Nachon, but there's a din derabonon called Mechzik Mevashel in the Kli Sheni. By Tavlin, there is no Mechzik Mevashel, remember? Because Tavlin only comes with Matek as Hakadera. The goal of Tavlin is to sweeten the pot. No one cooks spice. Spice adds to the flavor of something else. Tavlin is lamatek as hakadera. So Tosus says on Lamates that kli sheni eino mevashel, but there's a din of mechzik mevashel in the kli sheni. But that din of mechzik mevashel, we could suggest, only makes sense if the kli sheni is empty. You see, if the kli sheni is full, it's not mechzik mevashel, it's mechzik mekarer. If I have a hot water in a kli sheni and I add cold water to it, the average bystander is going to say, what are you doing? How come you're adding the cold water? Teretz says you want to cool down the hot water that's in it. Right, that's your kavana, to cool it down. Oh, that's interesting. If my kavana is to cool it down, so then it's not mechzik mevashel. But when it's empty, there's a bigger problem because then it's mechzik mevashel. Therefore, zucht the Eglay Tal, our Mishnah holds that mechum shapinohu lo yitain letochal b'shvil sheyechamu, Because our Mishnah is going like the opinion in Taisus that there's even a mechzi kemevashel in the klisheni. An empty pot is a klisheni, like the Taz says. However, our Mishnah says it's usser based on mechzi kemevashel. But as we noted, although the Magen Avraham in Se'if Katan Tesvav paskins like that opinion in Taisus that there is mechzi kemevashel in a klisheni, but most poskim do not follow that din that there's mechzik and mevashel on the kli sheni, and therefore the Taz taka holds that it's going to be mutter, that the empty ladle is not subject to the rules of Bishul. Okay, gentlemen, basically to summarize what we did over here, the Mishnah says hamechon shapinahu, don't put water in to heat the water up. Rav Adarahav understands that that's an empty mechon, no? The empty mechon, you're not allowed to put water into it. The kasha is, the Taz tells me that an empty ladle is a kli sheni. How come you can't put water into it if it's a kli sheni? So we had three suggestions so far. Suggestion one is maybe our mission is going like the opinions that klisheni is mevashel. Right? That's what the Bar Tanura said. Suggestion two that we had is this razzle-dazzle mahalach, that there's a difference between cooked water and uncooked water. Right? The Adarabba, cooked water will cook more easily in a klisheni. Right? That's what we call the backwards svara. Mahalach number three that we suggested is that the din of mechom shepinahu, that it's usher to put water in, it's because it is a mechzik mevashel. The Taz says it's mutter to put water into the empty ladle because the Taz is going like the other opinion that there is no mechzik mevashel in the klisheni. That is the Egle Tal. It seems to Schwartz, that's me, that there is, however, a fourth mahalach, which I think Lafi Anias Daiti is better than the other mahalachim. Ellie.
Why are you assuming mecham is the same thing as the ladle? Like, doesn't mecham mean klivisham?
But I empty it out. And the Taz holds that a ladle when it's full is a klivisham, and a ladle when it's empty becomes a klisheni. So our mission is a kash on the Taz.
It's not a clear reason because of the wall itself.
You might be thinking of what Schwartz is saying, is going to say.
I mean, like the mechum itself was heated on the fire. This was heated.
So there's a difference between a mechum and a ladle. I don't understand the whole kasha to begin with. Is this what you're saying, Ellie? That the mechum becomes a klivishon because it's mamish on the fire. So the walls got hot. That is the dugma klasit, the paradigmatic case of a klivishon. Ladle, lechveis, maybe it could be a klivishon, but it's only a klivishon in machmas the mayim, which was heated by the fire. And therefore I could hear a svara that once I empty that mayim, the ladle is no longer klivishon. That's a pshat in the Taz. But there's no kasha on the Taz from our Mishnah. The whole shtick o'taira of the egle tal is unnecessary because there's a difference between the paradigmatic kli rishon that was mamish on the fire and this mecham, which is, and the ladle, the matzekes, which is never directly on the fire. Kach nirali, and that's what Ellie agreed with me, so I like you today, right? So that's the basic yisod, gentlemen. Okay, obviously there's much more to do on this sugya, but I'd like to break over here because the next topic, the topic of the psik reisha issue and the taisvis, etc., is a massive issue, and b'li neder, I want to try to cover that tomorrow, and thank you for listening, Chavra. Have a good day.